This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, welcome back. I'm Ryan Ranker filling in for Mark Cox. These mornings, they go by so quick. So quick. And I keep monitoring to see if there's any update between Russia and Ukraine, but there's been all kinds of stories that came out yesterday. We're going to cover some of that. Genevieve Wood, senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, is going to join us a little bit later this hour, too. That's always exciting. That's going to be, what, about 12 minutes from now or so? Kim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I get a little obsessive reading these Kennedy documents. Here's what I find. I can spend an hour, and then I'll find one interesting thing in that hour. It's a lot of work to scan through these documents. It's tedious work, too. So-and-so is known, and here's what they said. So-and-so is known, and here's who they talked to. I saw one that's, send a note back to this person's wife to let them know that he's fine. He just can't talk right now. And, you know, it's like a lot of these, there's so many little tiny details, resignations, retirements, thanks for the good work, these type of letters that are in there that make it so hard to skim through and find just the meat of it. And eventually people will find things, and we're going to go through some of those documents in the course of the show if I find some interesting things a little bit later. Joe Biden's mentioned in it. That's kind of interesting. There's a CIA agent that was like freaking out. He's like, they killed him. CIA killed him. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up committing suicide.
Yeah, that was what? They ruled it a suicide. He disappeared right after the assassination. And then, what was it, days later, he's dead. And they're like, you know what? It's a suicide. Although, doesn't that make you question if it was maybe not a suicide? I don't know.
100%. You got Hillary Clinton. So I think that there's a very interesting things that people are pointing out. There's fingerprints of people on here. In case you're looking for some fingerprints, you can probably scan these and use them. That's a real Mission Impossible style thing. But before we get into too much, let's do the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
At first, they said American exceptionalism doesn't even exist. But of course, we know it does exist, and it will as long as Americans don't take it for granted and never stop believing.
That's Charles Payne, Fox Business. He is so awesome, and I can't wait to talk to him next hour. Now, I understand sometimes guests get busy and schedules change. Normally, we just roll with the punches. If for some reason he says we can't do it today, my heart will break on camera.
Elon Musk is now beginning to receive similar treatment that we once saw for Donald Trump.
This is definitely Elon derangement syndrome, which is kind of a corollary of Trump derangement syndrome.
It is going on right now. I don't think it is bothering Elon Musk too much. I know that his stock prices are down, but they still sell a lot of vehicles, and this might be a great opportunity to pick up Tesla stock while it's low. So we'll talk about this Elon Musk derangement syndrome this segment.
The Ukrainians reluctantly, under a lot of pressure from the Trump administration, agreed to an unconditional 30-day ceasefire.
But the problem is the Russians did not agree to an unconditional ceasefire. So that's where the negotiations are at last check. But it sounds like Zelensky and Trump are going to speak again today based on the discussions that Trump and Putin had yesterday. So we'll see if that progresses.
I think I could kick most of their ass. I do think they want to do it. I know I can outrun them. But I don't know if we're going to fall into that place where we want to, okay, we challenge you to a WWE fight here type of thing.
That was former vice presidential running mate of Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, on Trump supporters. I think I can kick most of their blank. I don't know. I feel like he's the kind of guy that would try and find out that it ain't happening.
I'm going to say no. No, you could not, Tim Walz.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you'll find out very quickly that, maybe I shouldn't say this, it'll get you in trouble, but the type of Trump supporter and the type of people he would normally fight have gender confusion. So I think when he is put up against a man, he might have some trouble.
I mean, the
maybe
guy,
he's thinking about beating up some women.
The guy is what, 60 years old or something like that? But he seems, there's something about him that seems way older. And that, it was funny because watching him on the campaign trail with Kamala Harris, I saw so many comparisons to The Price is Right when it's like, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right. And you see the contestant, you know, jumping up and down for joy, running down the aisle and taking their place up at the front. That was how Tim Walz came out at all of his campaign events, the rallies. It was like he needed to prove to people, like, I'm a young whippersnapper. You know, you might try to argue that I'm older like Trump and all and Biden. But look, like I still have all this energy, but it was almost overboard. He kind of looked obnoxious.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy, and I've seen these viral videos where they're on the street and he's like causing trouble, yelling and screaming at someone. And the person's like, just leave me alone, dude. And then the guy that's going crazy takes a swing and then he finds out that this other person ain't messing around and he's the one that ends up on the ground. That seems like the Tim Walz type of energy he's giving off right now. But I want to go back to the Elon Musk thing and the idea. And this was Buck Sexton, who was on Fox yesterday discussing Elon derangement syndrome. I want to play that whole clip because this is kind of an interesting thought, because we're seeing a lot of stories about Tesla's getting torched and vandalized, particularly the Cybertruck that started the trends first. But now we're finding, I think there was a car show in Vancouver that said we are not going to invite Tesla anymore because we understand it's going to bring the wrong clientele here and we don't want to have to secure Tesla here. So we're just going to drop them all together. In this case, the terrorists win. So let's play the full clip from Fox News and Buck Sexton, if we could.
Elon Musk is now, you know what's crazy, Buck? He's beginning to receive similar treatment that we once saw for Donald Trump.
Oh, this is definitely Elon derangement syndrome, which is kind of a corollary of Trump derangement syndrome. Will, Tesla sold something like 1.8 million cars worldwide last year. The notion that a few lunatic leftists lighting cars on fire is going to do anything to the company is really insane. But it's also beside the point insofar as they're doing this because they're acting out rage against a narrative that plays out in their minds that Elon is some sort of a fascist or, you know, the crypto president
oligarch
or whatever it is. Let's keep a couple things in mind here. Oligarch, a couple things in mind here. One, he's trying to save everybody money that is essentially going into a black hole courtesy of our highly inefficient and spendthrift government. Something that everybody, and I mean literally everybody in America who's paying attention, should say, that's a great thing. Thank you, Elon, richest man in the world, for trying to help us.
Yeah. Do you agree, Kim, with Pam Bondi, our attorney general, that attacks on Tesla facilities should be domestic terrorism?
You could probably argue that it is. I mean, I think it's getting out of hand, and it makes me mad that I understand why the car shows made the decision that they have, but that's frustrating when you feel like you're caving. You're letting the bad guys win when you're doing that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So at some point, you have to do something to be able to take action.
Here's Yeah, I guess it's Vancouver, so it's Canada.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here, thing. But we're having a lot of Teslas and specifically Cybertrucks in the United States that are being set on fire and vandalized to a degree.
Vancouver is also known for their riots. I remember, was it the Vancouver Canucks lost the Stanley Cup and they rioted?
They
is
did.
That what happened?
They lost the finals.
Yeah, that was a pretty big deal. So here's what I think would be a great sting operation in the United States. Next car show that's coming up, they invite Tesla, they have them there. And then while they're admitting people, they basically do airport security. And if they find any materials that would indicate they're there to vandalize, they arrest them immediately for terrorism and pull them out. This is how you can screen these people immediately. I would be happy for that to happen. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to a senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, Genevieve Wood, heritage.org. Heritage Foundation, I really think, has a pretty good grasp on lots of things, including economic and legal issues. So we'll discuss a wide range of those on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. You can join us online. We got the live video feed going right now. You can watch us. You can see Carl running around, keeping the radio station held together with duct tape. He's doing a fantastic job with it this morning.
Duct tape would be a luxury.
Gorilla glue.
So electrical tape today.
Scotch tape.
What's that one stuff they put to, you know, they saw a boat in half and then they slap it together? Whatever, what's that, seal tape or whatever it's called? That's basically what you're using this morning.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but it don't matter. All
I
right.
think Gorilla Glue.
I got to say, Gorilla Glue, yeah. Flex tape. That's what it's called. All right. Joining us now is a senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, Genevieve Wood. Thank you so much for joining us.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
That's nice. Good morning to you, Genevieve.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's a interesting week, and I keep refreshing to see if there's any changes to the negotiations between Russia, Ukraine, and how the United States is facilitating that. It seems like when you have different time zones, different parts of the world, and the United States is the intermediary, and it's a lot of it happening remotely, that news could happen at any time. So
this is true.
Very, very interesting. There's a few things I wanted to bring up, and this is something that came up this week, and I saw one of your articles, or at least I saw, for example, an article that came up in the Daily Signal, I should say, rather. Homeschool students are happier, more engaged, and more likely to be married. And I know that's something that you've been following, too. There was a lot of pushback on the Department of Education and cuts to the Department of Education when, reality, we're talking about duplicate services and probably people that weren't really offering much to begin with, services that may not have been used by a lot of these districts. However, there's a lot of liberal areas that are looking at this saying, no, they're cutting our services, when really they'll have no impact to them. They're really grasping on to this idea of public education. And my point is, public education has failed the kids in those areas, particularly harder than other areas. So let's talk about students being happier. And what's the best way to keep a kid happy, you think?
Well, I think their parents being engaged in their lives is number one. And obviously that comes to education as well. So obviously if you're homeschooled, your parents are probably very engaged because they're the ones serving as your teachers. But I mean, I think this gets to the whole shutting down the department, though, Ryan, is that what's best for the kids is when people that are actually in their lives that know them the best are the ones helping with their education. And when you have direction coming out of Washington, and let's be clear, the amount of dollars here, it's important, but it's really not the key thing. The problem with Washington is that you have a lot of bureaucrats very far away from most families, most school districts, except maybe Virginia and Maryland, and they're the ones sending out all the regulations and a lot of the rules. So yeah, they send out monies with strings attached, but they also send out a lot of regulations and rules that don't make sense for a lot of kids in school districts. And we see the numbers. We see that ever since the department was started back in 1980, so it's had a 45-year track record, our numbers have gone down in terms of the performance of students, whether you're talking about reading or writing or comprehension, and it's across everybody. It's not, you know, just one sector of kids who live in the inner cities, or, you know, black children versus Hispanic children versus white children. It's everybody has suffered. Everybody's numbers have gone down. But then when you look at children who are homeschooled, or even in private schools, that's not been the case. And I think we have to look at that and ask why. And again, it comes back to local people who know the children best, in the case of homeschoolers, their parents, and in many cases, homeschoolers are involved in co-ops, which is, you know, are communities of homeschoolers in a particular area. Those are friends and family, often neighbors. They know those kids as well, and they are not just helping with their education, but helping them with life. And so when you look at this study and it says, oh, wow, homeschoolers are least likely to say that they feel helpless when dealing with life's problems, that they feel the most, you know, gratitude and optimism and life satisfaction. That shouldn't be surprising that they feel that, in addition to scoring better when it comes to reading, writing, and other disciplines.
It makes sense that in part it's because the parents are just so involved. I'm taking a left turn here, Genevieve, but I saw another story on the Daily Signal that really caught my attention, and that was that supposedly these gangs, these cartels are starting to, I guess the word is, shove drugs inside cows to get them across the border. What is going on here? Like, this is just desperation at this point. Like, let's shove the drugs in the cows.
Well, I mean, I guess in some ways, Kim, we shouldn't be surprised, right? I mean, these folks are desperately wanting to make money. They desperately want to get drugs and humans into the U.S. to sell and the like. And so they now see that you have a president who's making that much more difficult for them. So they got to find new tactics. I mean, they were often using human beings to smuggle drugs across. Now that number has been so drastically cut, they're looking for other opportunities. We don't know how big this problem is. It's still under investigation. But yeah, there is evidence, especially on the border of New Mexico, that they are using
Carl.
Female cows, they spayed on one side in Mexico, and after they spayed them, they insert the drugs and then bring them across the border and take them out. So it's a new, you know, it's a new tactic. You got to be alert, and I think Border Patrol is on it.
They got a lot of space in those cows. Like, you've seen the videos where they're, like, checking up on a pregnant cow. They'll go elbow deep to, like, reach in and check to make sure the calf is fine inside. So there's room in there.
Wouldn't that hurt the cow if they're having drugs? Like, if the cow's full of fentanyl, and I know it's probably in a bag, wouldn't that seep into the cow somehow?
They don't care. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they don't care, but I think that's the cows. Well,
the only reason they care is because they're having to buy these cows, and they're selling when they get to the U.S. I mean, the reason we're buying these cows is because our cattle herd has gone down. So I don't think they want to kill the cows, but the drugs are a lot more valuable than the cows are. And interesting, if you read the story, one of the things I found in it was that apparently cattle are much less at risk of infection than other large mammals, like, say, horses. So even though it would sound like, right, I mean, it's vacuum-packed the way they do the sealing of the drugs, but when they insert those and, you know, sew them back up and then bring them in, there's a lot less chance that they're going to be infected than a lot of other animals would be.
Genevieve Wood, Senior Advisor at the Heritage Foundation, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. You can find me online at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Kim, you sent this story that was essentially a Elon Musk-inspired story. And the headline is, a bunch of libs died outside the New York Stock Exchange because Elon gutted government waste.
Yep. They staged a die-in with like 9,500 plus. They were holding up these like tombstones they made with different things like Trump cut my Social Security and, you know, long live Medicaid, and talking about the measles outbreak and the fact, you know, no vaccines and things like that.
So the signs were, you said 900 people showed up.
No,
for this
I heard
protest?
It was what the article I found was 9,500 plus tombstones. 90. So maybe people were holding more than one, but there were a bunch of people who decided to take part in this die-in, as they're calling it.
That is so stupid. So stupid.
That'll get them. This will make Elon and Trump change their mind. Let's show them our handmade tombstones we got on our poster board that we picked up at Walgreens.
There's got to be a Facebook group where they are secretly plotting these things. And it's got to be the cringiest, dumbest conversations going on there. We need to infiltrate one of these to just see how deep it goes. And I'm looking at some of the tombstones there. So they're laying on the ground. Does this remind you of Occupy Wall Street some? How stupid that movement was?
Yep. Oh, one person says no updated flu vaccine. Well, you could argue it doesn't work anyway.
No death by flu Doge. Vaccine. Oh, yeah. Medicaid. What does one of them say? It says, you deported my gang member husband who was the breadwinner of the family.
He only murdered one person, okay?
But he was taking care of the kids fine with his drug money.
He's doing better.
Drug money. I thought this was America. We could depend on fentanyl income.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Look at some of these signs.
Plane crash, no FAA.
To me, it seems like if you look at the pictures, are you on the article right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do all the handwriting look exactly the same, like one person made these and just handed them out to people? Kind of
looks like there were maybe a few people who made them. It's a lot of signs to make. Your hand must have hurt after all that writing.
It does look like the same handwriting to me, though. But I'm sure here, take this and go pretend you're dead with me. What did J.D. Vance say in Michigan? Where are the, like, you notice the protesters, don't they have jobs? Like, or don't they have jobs to go to? I don't know anymore. You know, talking about jobs, I saw this one article on The Hill, record number of Americans working more than one job. I work more than one job. I'm doing it right now. Carl works more than one job. He works at Enterprise and does a lot of gigs out there.
Yep.
Kim, I don't know. Do you work more than one job? Do you do something else on the side?
Nope.
You don't
just
have
she's
to.
A mom. Nice. I'm a mom. That's a lot of work. I don't get paid for that, though.
Yeah. Well, your husband works, though.
If only. Oh, yeah.
You get
and
paid.
He does.
Yeah.
He does side stuff too. Like he'll do. He really likes real estate investing and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So he's not stuffing cows to go across the border.
Well, not yet, but I'm sure that there's a lot of interest after hearing that interview with Genevieve Wood. I wonder if more people will want to do that, shove drugs in cows and smuggle them.
Please rewind on the Odyssey app.
Yeah,
please do.
Yeah, there was a comment that came through on the video stream that may have been the funniest comment of the week. There it is. This fentanyl tastes like blank. Sticking it into a cow.
Poop emoji.
Isn't that supposed to be, or is this a rumor, that it was supposed to be chocolate ice cream?
Yeah.
And everyone just says it's a poop emoji?
Yeah.
Just like the prayer hands we all send, it was, I thought, supposed to be people high-fiving and we all send it for prayer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Thank you. Yeah. That's great. Amy, thank you for that comment. That was hilarious. So, record number of Americans working more than one job. 8.9 million Americans reported working multiple jobs. It equates to approximately 5.4% of the workforce. That number seems a little bit low, 5.4%. Because a lot of people I know do other things that are in access to, or in surplus, I guess, of their main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really surprise me because there's the gig apps where you can do the Ubers and Lyfts, and there's also the ones where you can deliver food. Those are more of like kind of on demand. You can just pick it up whenever you want to. People do flex routes with Amazon. Some people do that. It's kind of a sad state of affairs, though, isn't it? When all things considered, that a lot of people have to pick up additional jobs just to make mm-hmm. ends meet shows you where we are today.
My assumption is that people are doing it because they feel it's out of necessity, though there might be some people who are trying to follow like the Dave Ramsey thing or something and want to pay off all their debt as quickly as possible because things are so unpredictable. And so they want to rid themselves of all of that.
I make more money over there than I do over here.
There you go.
What, an enterprise?
Yeah.
Are you serious? They pay that well? You push the button for the horn, Carl. That's what I thought
job.
You do there.
I make $2 million here, and I think you do too. So you're saying you make what, like $4 million over there?
Seven.
Seven? Wow. Are you talking about,
is that pesos or Venezuelan
yen.
Currency? What do you mean? yen right now. It's not doing so hot. So... Yeah, it's interesting. The amount of money you can make on the side stuff could be appealing, but it makes you wonder. And you look at these other countries, because I have friends that live in Australia, and they, for the most part, work from gig to gig. And the reason they can afford that is because their healthcare is paid for. They don't have to worry about that as an expense, and it's taken care of. But the taxes are so much different. They're taxed higher because of it, and there's a lot more problems that are with it. You know, not every universal healthcare that's in front of people are actually good forms of healthcare, and a lot of times you can't even get looked at, or it takes forever to get necessary treatments done because you're just such a long waiting line. It does kind of make things difficult to get some of the basic necessities. At least here in the United States, you can get that done pretty quick. We just choose not to. We say we don't really need to go to the doctor.
No, it's so true. Men.
You know, there was another story I saw from Reason. Taking $200 out of an ATM should not trigger federal financial surveillance. So did you realize this? That I knew that if you deposited more than $1,000 at a bank, that you have to fill out paperwork.
I thought
it was a Homeland
10.
Security thing.
I thought it was 10, too.
Or 10. Yeah, 10. I'm sorry.
Like, wow, 1,000. That's a pretty low threshold.
Yeah, no, 10,000. You're right. My apologies. But they do that for the sake of terrorism, right? They want to make sure you're not funneling money around. Well, I didn't realize that the threshold was so low that if you withdraw a certain amount of money from an ATM, that could actually trigger some sort of internal investigation. Now, investigation is not like there's an individual that's auditing you, meaning that you can be looked at as in, okay, let's just look at this transaction and see if anything's out of the ordinary. And they use the same idea. Certain international cartels and classifications from the State Department, if you're pulling a certain amount of money out of an ATM, and it's a pretty low threshold, that they can use it as a justification to just take a quick peek and make sure everything looks okay. That's pretty concerning, isn't it?
Well, what is that line to withdraw money?
$200 from an ATM.
What? I knew that at some point they would look into it. You can't just go withdraw $1,000 from an ATM. I understand that, but I'm really surprised you're saying, and that is with all banks across the board, or is that, does each bank set a limit?
How am I going to buy my cow drugs?
Shoot.
Yeah, seriously. So that's what you're finding is the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. So that's FinCEN, U.S. Department of Treasury. The financial transactions totaling at least $10,000 in cash per day, including deposits, withdrawals, or accommodations, require a CTR, which is, what we discussed there. Now, the rule remains in effect in the rest of the country, but those 7 border counties down that are down south, if you withdraw what used to be $10,000, if it's now dropped to $200 from an ATM, then you qualify for the same type of treatment for them to look into your finances. This is just down south, like where
it's
the, you know,
gas.
Across the border.
Well, I mean, do you have to, yeah, in some places it is. So you have to go inside the bank. Now, obviously, that's a problem if it's past 5 p.m. and the banks are closed and you, for whatever reason, need the money.
$200, yeah.
Cow drugs.
And everything's digital anymore. I don't even know. Like I think the only time I have cash is like, okay, I specifically need money, like physical cash for something. So I have to go out of my way to go get it because I just don't normally carry it in my wallet.
Yeah.
It's like a special occasion type of deal.
I should carry it. I know they say it's really nice to have it like an emergency stash. But it's just, it's hard to come by. Like you said, I am more so going to get it for a specific reason. So I wouldn't be a good person to rob. If you're listening and you have a tendency to rob people, you're not going to find much.
Yeah. And if you don't want to lie to the homeless, it's probably better not to have it on you, because then you say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't got any cash.
I really don't. Even the cute little girls who come to our door, or the little boys who are trying to sell stuff, you know, and they only take cash, which nowadays I think some of them are doing other things as forms of payment. But I'm genuinely like, I don't have cash on me. Here's a quarter that I was going to use at Aldi for a cart, but you can have that.
Yeah. Now you're at the mercy of someone else at Aldi leaving you their quarter. Don't you hate that when you're trying to return your cart and someone said, hey, can I have that cart? And you're like, can you give me a quarter?
Well,
like,
I mean, they should say, here's my quarter that I was going to use. I don't feel like people just say, give me your quarter. Give me your, give me your cart. Is that like a heist at Aldi?
You're making money.
Yes. They're
making
money. Enough carts
and you've made money.
And have you ever walked up to Aldi and as you're walking up, someone says, here, you can have my cart. And they, oh, do you want my quarter? They say, no, that's okay. And you walk in like, I just won the lottery.
Oh, I feel so good.
25 cents I didn't have to put in there.
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel great?
But then you have to pay it forward. Like, don't be the jerk who then takes the quarter. You need to pass the cart along to somebody else. Even if there was no one else walking up at the same time, I would just leave the quarter in there. I've done that.
No, I take the quarter. I'll take the quarter. Yes, that's fine. All right, when we come back, I'm going to take some more quarters and Kim on a whim. I always enjoy these segments, so we're going to have part two of that next. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Thanks for everyone that's joining us online, too. We have some awesome comments that are coming in today. As the kids would say, some banger comments coming in today. 97.1 FM Talk.
Kim on a whim.
And splashdown. Crew 9 back on Earth.
Gosh, after 9 months of being stuck in space, those two astronauts are finally back on Earth. Thought they were going there for an 8-day mission. Nope. End up being stuck there for 286 days. And what's crazy to me, well, first of all, the images are really beautiful of this because they land in the ocean and you can see a pod of dolphins that are swimming around them. And it's just really neat if you haven't seen the video yet. But what's crazy is Sean Hannity on Fox was doing an interview with Elon Musk, who, of course, is the CEO and the chief engineer of SpaceX, which is the company that sent the rocket to go finally rescue these astronauts. And he said, you know, we approached the Biden administration and offered to go rescue them months ago. And for whatever reason, our request was shot down. He thinks it was politically motivated. I would probably think there could be some truth to that, you know, because why else would you not want this? Why would you not make every effort to go get these astronauts who've been stuck there for months? It's not like they were deprived of all these resources. Like, obviously, they were the International Space, like they had resources there at the International Space Station. But still, that's a long time to be away from your family, to not maybe have as much as you anticipated, because that just was far longer than you thought you'd be there.
Yeah. You know, before we brought up a couple of ideas when it comes to movie plots, this would make for an awesome movie plot. Going to rescue the astronauts at the International Space Station. Government don't know what to do, so they have to go to the richest man in the world to go rescue him. And he just says, I've been waiting all this time for you to ask. And then he's out of Texas.
Does Elon Musk have an accent? Well, he does have an accent, but that almost sounded like you were a cowboy accent. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah, that's right. So I asked my wife, I said, if this were a movie, would you watch it? You know what she said? She said, I would read that book, but there would have to be 3 astronauts and one has to stay.
You have to pick which one will stay.
Yeah, which 2 get to go and one stays.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye. This will be a documentary. No doubt this will be a documentary. I'm sure they have plenty of footage. I wouldn't be surprised if it's made into a Hollywood movie, too. This is crazy.
Who plays Elon?
Mm.
Yeah. They'll
know. Make him look... If it's Hollywood, they'll make him look crazy. I mean, you can hate him for what he's been doing, but the guy just brought them back, and he's done things that nobody else has been able to do, not just in the United States, in the world.
Yeah. Remember back in the day when you had a car and your friend didn't, and they wanted to go somewhere, and you'd be like, you better pitch in for gas? I don't even think the government's pitching in for gas on this. I think Elon just did it to
I think he sent in an expense report. I mean, what do you think that they pay for the gas? How much do you think that the fuel costs?
A lot. Oh, boy, that's a good question. That special type of fuel that they use.
I'm just glad they're
there. There they are.
Yep.
It's a fantastic story, and I think Elon Musk deserves all the credit in the world. I'll tell you, my son, 10 years old, is really fascinated by Tesla, Elon Musk, space travel. He has a certain appeal to people that, you know, entrepreneurs looking at the sort of business, and rightfully so. All right, this is the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.